Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Warriors.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is the first show for January 2017, so it's the Pokemon Show.
Ooh.
And we got a few things to cover here. No real Pokemon news since the last time we did a show. I mean, they just released a bunch of games in Sun and Moon, so not really a whole lot going on in the realm of news. And all of like the 20th anniversary, all the special distributions are over. No more free Pokemon at the beginning of every month.
Well, I completed my living decks just in time to have Gen 7 roll around, and I got to get a bunch of new shit.
So. Very nice.
Yeah.
And
way to keep me playing.
Yeah, so not too many hot topics going on, but we're going through Sun and Moon. I, of course, finished it. Wes, you finished it as well.
I got
to the Elite Four.
Indubitably.
Ryan, are you pretty close?
I don't know how close I am. I mean, I've been at it for a while. I just got to the other island. I think the last island.
A Pony Island.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Getting close.
What, like the blonde mom of the two kids
right.
has unleashed all of the ultra beasts or whatever, and man, things are hectic.
I mean, that's a pretty dark story for Pokemon.
Yeah.
They have tortured and made this freak Pokemon, the Null Zero. And
Type
then,
Null.
Type
she's,
Null.
Yeah, I don't know. She's looking good, though, for having had two kids.
Yeah,
I mean, she doesn't look like she's, like a 50-year-old mom at all.
No, not at all.
But before we actually get too deep into something here, quick programming note.
She's like Jodie Foster from Contact.
Yeah, it's a lot like Jodie Foster in Contact.
How is it though? Jodie Foster didn't have any children in Contact, nor did she summon beasts. Well, I guess maybe.
Zemeckis has a special cut of it.
Okay, got to where she's got two kids.
It's like, they call it a work print.
Kristen Stewart and...
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm, there's dragons.
Robert Pattinson.
There are numerous dragons.
I gotta make a comment, something that nobody's gonna be able to see, but what is with your t-shirt?
It's like... Oh, yeah, it's a band.
Oh, it's a band?
Yeah, it's their logo.
Three Dudes and a Chainsaw. Is that the name of the band?
Yeah. Well, no, it's a band called Terra Melos. Everyone should listen to them. They're fucking amazing.
What the frack?
It's T-E-R-A space M-E-L-O-S. They're like, you call it math rock, just like really noisy, jazzy rock music.
Huh.
Totally check them out. They're fucking amazing.
I don't understand the chainsaws, though.
Yeah, they're missing their heads, too. Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's just really weird.
Hmm. Yeah, but there's like really proper outfits. Look at these Western shirts.
Yeah. They're like lumberjacks.
No, if anyone wants to know, the shirt that I'm wearing is the artwork from the cover of their first album, which is a self-titled album. Terra Melos, everyone go listen to them. Thank you for giving me the chance to promote them.
No problem.
These guys really are fucking
It's a
wonderful.
Very interesting shirt. I like it, but it's like, it freaks me out. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary.
Catches your eye. It's almost like if I turn my head, I'm the one in the middle.
All right, so programming note, before we continue any further here. Didn't post the Super Nintendo Show last month. Things just got crazy hectic, skipped right to the official. So I'm going to be posting the Super Nintendo Show from December this month. We're still going to record a Super Nintendo Show this month, but that won't be posted until February. So we're basically keeping one in the bank at all times here so that we don't get too far behind with the Super Nintendo Show. So the show that posts this month will be the show for Breath of Fire 2, Donkey Kong Country 2. And then we got some more games.
Oh, yeah, that's what we talked about.
Yeah.
All right.
Fantastic.
But yeah, so Sun and Moon, let's dive right back into there. So, Wes.
Where did we leave off last time?
So, this is supposed to be like the post game? Is that right? You guys want to talk about post game stuff?
Yeah, essentially.
I've done very little post game.
Well, let's talk about your run through the Elite Four. Who'd you take through? Because we talked about mine. We talked about my. I don't think we talked about my second team that I went through, but let's go over to yours first.
Well, the team that I did. I feel like we did, though. Oh. The team I ended up going through the Elite Four with was Salazzle, Mimikyu, Crabominable, Vigavolt, Primarina, and Lycanroc.
No, we definitely didn't talk about yours, not on the show at least.
Oh.
Because that doesn't sound familiar at all.
Oh.
Sounds
all right.
Weird to me a little bit.
But
I remember you bringing up Lycanroc, and I was like, yeah, I kind of wanted to take Lycanroc through the
game. Lycanroc is okay. It's just a little too squishy. I mean, he's a rock type, but he just kind of dies pretty easily.
I know what you mean. He reminds me a lot of Zoroark, in that you got this really offensive powerhouse, but as soon as you're hitting him with anything, he's gonna
he's going down
hard.
And that rock type that he is, I mean, with the fighting and some of the other weaknesses that he has to him, it's kind of annoying.
Fighting, water, grass, and like some of the most common things in this game are grass types and water types.
Yeah, he's just not that helpful. Salazzle, though, I would probably say is the best Pokemon in this game.
We'd have a hard argument between.
I will argue that.
I've been playing with the Salazzle, and I'm kind of not that thrilled, to be honest.
Really? I love my Salazzle.
It's fun that it's like a nice special attacker.
Mm-hmm. Speedy.
Speedy, yeah. Too. But I've got another poison on my team, and it's more the way I want to play a poison, which is like slow burn, mm-hmm. annoying, poison your opponent, and then just like...
Who's that you're running with?
Toxapex.
Oh, okay, yeah. What's the ability that you have on it?
Merciless? Everyone seems to think that the other one is better, though. I forget what it is.
But... I think the hidden one, I don't know too much about. I think it's called Relentless, but the other one, let me find mine really quick.
I think it is Relentless, but I kind of like Merciless. It's cool, because like...
What do they do?
When Merciless, when they're poisoned, all attacks become critical hits.
Yeah, see,
that's pretty cool.
So, yeah, I mean, that's
pretty... But how high is its attack and everything like that? So, it basically...
Mine has an attack-boosting nature, so it's 82... Well, I mean, for relative to what its level is, it's level 46, it's got 82, which isn't very good, but if it's critting a lot, then it's fine.
Then it's like a normal attack. Yeah, the other... Essentially, doesn't have a crit.
Yeah, but the Wally defenses that it's got, like, 140 defenses relative to 80 attack is... Mm-hmm. You know, good. I mean, considering they're also going to be poisoned already. Have you seen this move, Baneful Bunker?
Sure have.
It's, oh, man, this is the fucking shit.
Yeah, I got that on mine right now.
Yeah, and if whenever you get hit, not only are you using... It's essentially a protect that poisons your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a messed up move. I mean, that's,
you do no really damage, plus you're poisoned.
Yeah, really overpowered. And then that just feeds into his nature really well. And then I'm going at him with Poison Jab and... What, I mean, I guess I have Toxic, too. That's kind of unnecessary. And also Recover.
Yeah. But, you know, but Baneful Bunker will only work if they're going to hit you with a physical attack. So, you know, if they're going to try and go at you with a special attack, Toxic is still useful to have there. Yeah. I mean, I see Recover on yours as well. It's on mine, which is something you should absolutely be running with. But mm-hmm. I went pure just physical defensive, because Baneful Bunker, of course, Poison Jab, Liquidation. And I wish I had Merciless, because its other ability is Limber. Which means it can't be paralyzed, which fucking great. Okay. All right. Merciless is much better.
I think what you could do if you didn't want to go with Recover is just have it as a held item, give it Black Sludge.
Sure.
That way you get a steady heal, and then you could probably use something a little more defensive.
I mean, you could probably put like a... You could probably get Aqua Ring on him somehow as well if you want to go for a lot more recovery.
Kind of like that.
But anyway, that might involve some breeding. I'm sure you could pull it off somehow. But Wes, who else was on your team? Like you, well, Salazzle. Let's get back to your Salazzle, because I like him too, because he is very special attack.
He's heavy and beastly.
It's always a she.
All right, my bad, whatever.
Can hit hard. Flamethrower, Sludge Bomb, Dragon Pulse are on mine, so you got some good move diversity.
Flamethrower, Sludge Bomb, Dragon Pulse, and Nasty Plot.
Nasty Plot is cool.
I like
cool.
that Nasty Plot. That mine has Nasty Plot.
You really have to play your type alignments
to get that off. Yeah. She is very squishy.
Yeah.
Is that the only commonality on all our teams?
Salazzle?
Because I'm running with one too, and I think we all are then.
Yeah, I ran with
Salazzle. I can't imagine you guys are all using
Lycanroc? Did you all use a Lycanroc?
I have a Lycanroc.
I did not use it, okay. Though. I ended up rolling with the horse one, Mudsdale.
Yeah, Mudsdale.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, I mean, they seem like they do kind of similar things. One's rock, one's ground. I don't know about yours, but I'm assuming it probably also has a ground move on it.
No, actually, I couldn't teach any ground moves to my Lycanroc.
Rock and ground seem like...
I couldn't either, no. Which is annoying.
Yeah, because you get a TM for Earthquake, you get a TM for Bulldoze, of course. Couldn't teach either one.
There was a time where I needed a ground move. I ended up teaching Bulldoze to Crabominable.
I can name my genuine risk. Mudsdale will come with Earthquake. I think I got it like around level 45.
That's not
bad. It comes with Iron Defense. Stamina means every time it gets hit, it's going to increase its defense. And then you can give it Rock Tomb, Earthquake, and Double Kick, which is just like a nice trifecta of physical attacks.
Mm-hmm.
So, nice. I mean, it's pretty good. Pretty good attack, right? 149 at level 48.
That's just good HP as well. Look at all that HP.
So I kind of like this one. I mean, granted, I feel like Wes is supposed to be talking about his team.
No, you're fine. Talk.
We've dug in pretty deep on Lycanroc in the past. So who else did you have? Crabominable. How did you end up liking him?
He ended up just being around because I didn't really have anybody else near a high enough level to use for the Elite Four. So I was like, screw it. And Crabominable was at 45. Let's just do it.
So we had talked off the show that you didn't really do any grinding to get into the Elite Four.
No, I did not. That's a pain in the butt. There is nowhere to grind before the Elite Four. Everybody's around like level... What was that? Maybe 45?
I mean, if you go into the canyon, you can run into some Lycanrocs and Machokes. And, you know, they're sitting, like, between 40 and 45, so you can get some decent experience off of them.
Yeah, but, you know, in this one, you get less experience if you're over-leveled.
Yeah, it's true. True, but you're still, like, getting between 800 and 1,000 experience.
I just didn't feel like sitting through there. I mean,
your average team level?
Well, by the time I went into the Elite Four, my guys were around, I want to say 55, 56, which is fine for the Elite Four, except my Crabominable and my Vikavolt were only around 45. So I
because you have to evolve
two guys low. Yeah,
I got one guy that's ready to go. Then I mean, I've got my starter is at level 56, but everything else
he'll be fine.
Mid 40s.
My Salazzle was my highest level because when I had Salazzle, I had the Salandit, and I started training it, and then I found out it was only a female that evolves. So after spending about 20-30 minutes, which isn't much in Pokemon time, trying to find a female, I said screw it. Went up to the trading thing. Said, here's a Vullaby, give me a Salandit female, and got one. So he's got that trading extra stat boost thing. So it's sitting at level 73, and my next highest is 64.
That's pretty cool.
So it just kind of wrecks face.
Mm-hmm. But you don't get to nickname it, so there you go.
I don't care.
True, that's
it's
the trade-off.
Fine.
So what moves do you have in your Crabominable?
Crabominable is rocking Crabhammer, Close Combat, Brick Bake, and...
Brick bake,
that one. And Ice Punch.
Okay. Yeah, mine's only at level 34, so I don't think it's tried to learn Crab Hammer yet. But, I mean, it learns Power Up Punch. I think that's one that you definitely got to keep on it. Ice Punch as well I have on mine. I wonder if there's one, if you can get one with a nature that powers up the punch moves. What's that nature called? I think, like...
I mean, the ability.
Golurk, yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Iron Fist?
Yeah, maybe it's
Iron Fist. Yeah, I mean, because, well, the Pancham's in this, so if it's a breedable thing, you could probably breed him.
Yeah, I got Hyper Cutter like yours does, which is fine for him. Can't lower his attack. It's great.
And then there's a Dark-type move called Brutal Swing that I was able to teach to it, so just...
that sounds awesome.
Yeah, why not?
Brutal Swing?
Yeah, it gives him a counter to Psychic,
okay,
which he's weak to because of his fighting type.
So how do you play this without a fucking stylist? You seriously poke at beans? When you want to collect beans, you just
poke at it with
your finger?
Like a plebeian.
Christ. You fucking savage.
My DS is all greasy. Peanut butter and sausage grease all over it.
Oh my god.
All right, Wes, who else is on your team?
I got Vikavolt.
Oh, nice. We talked about Vikavolt a lot.
I love Vikavolt. Vikavolt's so good. Except that he evolves so fucking late.
That is the one big downside, yes.
That is complete shit. Just seriously, fuck you guys for making this amazing Pokemon evolve on the last goddamn island after you get him on the first.
Yeah, it's a bummer, but he is such a boss. Like, huge special attack, defense and special defense are good, HP is good.
Now, what moves do you got? Because I got two useless moves on mine, and it makes me sad.
Bug Buzz, which is awesome. Discharge and Thunderbolt, which are almost interchangeable, both really good. And then I taught him Energy Ball, which is a really amazing grass move.
Yeah, that's great. Mine still got stuck with Acrobatics and Crunch, but it's got Buzz Buzz and Thunderbolt, so I'm just haven't replaced those two moves yet, because those two are useless.
Right, right.
Other than that, I got myself a Mimikyu.
Oh yeah, I haven't used him yet.
He's a single form. He's got single form stats. Attack heavy, 144, at level 62. Not great.
Okay.
148 speed. I mean, the guy is okay. But that ability of his is amazing. The disguise.
Mm-hmm.
The first hit he takes, he just breaks the disguise, takes no damage. It's great. You get two hits in basically before the guy really starts hurting.
And you could always do a bunch of stat buffs.
Oh yeah.
In the meantime there, what moves are you rolling with?
Well, right now I'm just rolling Shadow Sneak, Leech Life, Play Rough, and Shadow Claw.
Okay. So you're just going pure offense.
Pure offense.
All right.
I mean, it's got the type matchups that I like. It's got the Fairy, it's got Ghost. I like Shadow Sneak. It's actually helped quite a bit. Because, you know, it is squishy. So if you get through the disguise and it's pretty much, he's at red, you're at red, and it's like, just Shadow Sneak him off.
Just get a quick shot in.
Yeah, it saved me a few times.
All right.
Then my last would be Primarina.
Oh, your starter.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a water type.
So you're rolling with two fairy types there?
Yeah, rolling with two fairies.
All right, very cool.
Yeah.
I actually did. So you haven't done much of the post game content?
Not much. I need to continue triggering the Ultra Beast event to go start catching them.
But you got through most of the fourth island, yeah? You got most of Pony Island?
Yeah, I went to that back area. I made it to the Battle Tree.
Oh, the battle tree. Like, the battle tree can be brutal.
I haven't done it yet.
Okay.
But I made it to the battle tree, which pissed me off. Because I'm on my way to the battle tree, and right in front of the game to the battle tree, I'm sitting here thinking, there's got to be a center or something to heal my guys there. I'm about dead. Oh, well. Because I go right into this double battle right before it, and they slaughter about half my team. Two of my guys are low. My Deke Ball, all he's got left is three uses of Bug Buzz and Thunderbolt. I'm like, shit. So I go into the battle tree thinking, oh, I'm just going to heal my guys up. No big deal. There's got to be a fucking center here. No, it goes straight into a battle with red or blue.
Yep, you got to get to choose between red and blue.
Which I still almost beat red, so fuck him. I healed up through that fight and made it down to his last Pokemon before I was like, well, there's nothing left I can do.
Just going to struggle your way through it.
Just going to let myself die here.
So you did choose to fight red then?
I fought red.
Okay.
Which eventually you can fight blue.
Oh, yeah, you could
tell. They said something about it, like, oh, we'll fight you later, or maybe he's a challenger or something like that.
I think I heard that they randomized the Elite Four with your progressive run-throughs. Is that right?
Well, what happens... So you could I ran through the Elite Four one more time, and I had heard, and this turned out to be false information, that they didn't really improve over the first time that you run through them. Now, they don't improve as much as they do in previous generations, so... They'll, like, max out around level 57, 58. Mm-hmm. So I built a team, and I want to see if I can just pull up my team really quick, even though I have them scattered throughout the box here. So I ran through... I took Toxapex, mm-hmm. and I took a Lurantis as well as a Shinotic. So I'm a little bit grass-heavy already, written in just the first three there. I also took Sarina, so that's even more grass in this particular team. And then I took Togedemaru, and who was my last one? Let's see if I can just figure it out by glancing here. Because the thing is, there you can't access a Hall of Fame through your PC anymore, which hadn't really been useful to this point. You know, it was always like this useless thing, like, hey, look who you beat the game with.
While you're looking through those, what do you think of Lurantis? Because I've used Lurantis for the first two-thirds of the game, and then I ditched her.
It's all right. It's a heavy physical attack, grass type. It's okay. It's okay. not amazing, but not bad either. I mean, physical attack is actually really, really good, but all the other stats are just kind of okay. The thing is, it's slow, and its defenses are fine, but not great. Mm-hmm. And I can't for the life of me remember who the 6-1 was. It must have been a really important member of the team.
It was obviously that Parasect. You have an actual Stoutland?
Good for you. Yeah, I got a Stoutland. But yeah, I'm filling out the decks. I don't want to have to do any editing. I might have to here just so I can go through and see who's at level 60. Because what I did... Oh, it was Rabambi. Of course it was.
I'm running with one of those.
Because what I did was... So I'm very grass and bug heavy in this group. What I did was I ground them all up to level 60, which wasn't all that bad once you access like the second half of Pony Island. Mm-hmm. So I'm running through like, hey, I'm like, this team is unbalanced. I got a couple of like hefty defensive ones with Toxapex and Togedemaru, and that's who I thought I was going to be leaning heavily into. And I run a challenge the first person in the Elite Four. And, like, hey, throws out someone out at level 63. So not only am I unbalanced, I'm also outclassed. Mm-hmm. So it was a grind. There was a lot of hyper potions being thrown out there just so I could get to the champion again. And what they do is, instead of challenging a different champion, you are still the champion. And a different challenger will come try to take your title away from you.
Oh, that's a clever twist on it.
Yeah, and... I fought, how do you pronounce his name?
H-A-U.
Yeah, the kid, like the non-rival kid.
Oh man, I was actually just at a part in the game where the guy's like, he's like, oh, Howe's not here yet, what do you think we should do? And it's like, let's wait for Howard. It's like, let's get the fuck out of here. Let's get the fuck out of here. No, let's ditch him right now.
I remember let's that. Remove him from I the know game. Exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, I did the same exact thing. He's like, no, we don't need to talk about it. We don't need to
wait for old this guy shows up, and he's like, oh, we gotta do something first.
Right. So yeah, I mean, and that team, and
that would've been so funny.
I'm actually happy with all of the Pokemon on that team. It wasn't a very well-constructed team. It was kind of like, yeah, whatever, I'll just take these. Like, Rabambi, I think, is a bit more competent than, say, like, a Butterfree. I like Rabambi a little bit more. I think a lot of that comes from just its inherent fairy resistances. Because it's not, like, this thing is super fast. Mm-hmm. But it's not particularly strong, it's not particularly defensive, but its fairy type gives it some key resistances. And plus, you can learn some really awesome moves. I have Dazzling Gleam, Pollen Puff, Psychic on mine, plus Stun Spore for just a little bit of a disable.
Sounds pretty cool. Similar to my moveset, actually. Sorry, I'm in the middle of a battle. Let me get out of here real quick.
It's cool.
I'll show you what I get.
But then I also ran through one of the other ones. Shinotic was my other fairy, Grass Fairy. And I ended up really liking this thing because it is also defensive, pretty good HP. I'm more heavily into special defense, but its special attack is also really good. Like most things in this generation, it's slow. But, you know, you run with it, it has the ability Effect Spore. So if you touch it, you're going to get hit with something. And it can also learn the move Spore for 100% guarantee of falling asleep.
Dang.
So this thing is very much a restore HP Pokemon because you Spore can also learn Dream Eater on its own for some HP restore. And it has this move called Strength Sap. And what Strength Sap does is it drains your opponent's attack and restores your HP.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, this thing sounds great.
So yeah, I was really happy with how this thing worked out, and I ended up relying on it quite a bit. So Strength Sap, to be exact, the user restores its HP by the same amount as the target's attack stat. Mm. It also lowers the target's attack stat.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's cool. Oh yeah, so mine has Psychic, Silver Wind, Draining Kiss, and Stun Spore.
Oh nice.
Some similar moves. I know you have Psychic and Stun Spore.
Draining Kiss is cool. You get some HP restore there.
That's the only reason why it's there, is just to keep him in the fight a little longer.
Yeah. So, we talked a little bit about Lurantis. Lurantis is all right. I think I liked Sarina a little bit more. It's a little bit more bulkier, has better attack stat, also has a little bit better move diversity. Mine's got a Trop Kick, Razor Leaf, High Jump Kick, and U-Turn. So, it's relatively diverse. We talked about Toxapex. That thing is a boss. The sixth one I had on this team was Togedemaru, and it's the one-form electric steel little rat thing. That I ended up really liking, and I might experiment with some different builds. Like, this is like the Gen 6 Shuckle. Mm-hmm. I really like this thing. Electric Steel, so it's got some good resistances. Its physical attack is all right. Its defenses aren't great. I mean, they're okay for a one form, but because he's a steel, he's got a lot of resistances. Mm-hmm. Ability is Iron Barbs. So if you touch it, you're taking
a little bit of chip damage.
Yeah, and I might run through the battle tree a bunch of times to get this thing a Rocky Helmet. That way,
that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, Iron Barbs and Rocky Helmet, and all of a sudden, hey, you're losing a quarter of your health when you touch it.
Oh, that's great.
Has a move called Zing Zap, which I had not seen before. It's a physical electric move, does 80 damage, so it's a physical discharge, basically. But it can also make your target flinch. And I also and also roll with Nuzzle on it because it's just
an electric headbutt.
Yeah. And Nuzzle is a really weak move, but it's basically Thunder Wave, except it does a little bit of damage as well.
Hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it doesn't learn any steel moves, which is weird. I would have liked to put like an Iron Head or something on this thing, or even like an Iron Defense just to bulk up a bit. But yeah, I mean, this thing is its Pokemon that I ended up relying a lot on as I was totally outclassed in this Elite Four run.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, I went through...
Damn, like that steel typing just... It's nice bulk to it, yeah. Right? Because you're only further exposing yourself to ground, which sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, it's just like you're picking up a ton of resistances.
Right.
And for what else are you going to lose? Not much. Fire? I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
It's a decent enough trade.
Ground?
No, you're already weak to ground. You're electric. You're already weak to ground.
Yeah.
So you're double weak to that, so that sucks.
Yeah.
But then really, yeah, not so bad.
Yeah, so I went through, I did the Ultra Beasts side quest, post-game quest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there really isn't that much more to the post-game outside of that. I mean, I hear there's little small things you can do, something about like an Eevee quest where you can go around the island and fight a different trainer, like an older trainer, and they each have a different form of Eevee and they have some sort of story that brings them all together. But I haven't gone after that looking for it yet. I mean, I essentially started up, like once I filled out the decks as much as I could in Moon, I started up a run of Sun so that I could get to the end of that and do the Ultra Beast there. But I mean, I have no problem abandoning that run if you guys have a good idea for a run we could all do at the same time. Because I essentially just transferred over a bunch of one forms.
Yeah.
Dehelmize, Drampa, Turtonator. Just like all the long forms I could find, just sent them all over. Like, all right, we're just going to roll through this like a bunch of bosses.
Nice. I don't know. Any ideas for runs? I thought it would be kind of interesting to do, like, we each get two types, and we have to build a team around two types.
Okay.
I mean, it's a thought, I bet, if you guys have anything else you want to do.
It's not bad.
I probably still need to beat the game first. That's maybe one thing.
I want to run through with nothing but Alolas and take a look at how good the Alolas are.
Okay, the Alola forms.
Yeah.
So, like, Raichu and Muk and...
Marowak.
Ninetales.
I probably will use Sandslash. That's a little bit more of my kind of twist on it. So it would be...
like your Allman Brothers Dugtrio.
God.
That thing looks fucking ridiculous. I do not want to
use that thing at
all. It's so good. Look at that thing.
Sandslash, Muk.
Raichu.
And Marowak. And I need two more.
I mean,
Exeggutor.
Oh yeah, Exeggutor. There you go.
Have you guys got one yet?
Mm-hmm. No, I have not.
Yeah.
And what should mine last be?
I haven't used it yet, but yeah, Alolan Exeggutor. I mean, it still evolves the same way that non-Alolan Execute evolves. Yeah, Energy Ball, Psychic, Psyshock, Dragon Hammer. I think I used a couple of heart scales on this thing just to see if I can get some really great moves on it.
Do I have to use the Dugtrio? I may have to use the Dugtrio.
I think you do have to know.
You have to use the Dugtrio.
But Dragon Hammer is a cool move. It's a 90 physical dragon move, and it's just...
Yeah, but it's a physical Exeggutor?
Its physical attack is all right. At level 40, it's 97, so it's decent.
Yeah,
and special attack is still a little bit better, but, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, I mean, I don't really have any... particular ideas for a run through. I'm up for just about anything.
Mm. There's Raticate and the Meowth.
Oh yeah, there you go. You should use Persian.
Oh, that was a Golem.
Oh yeah,
I was gonna use Golem. That was it. Yeah, that's a very solid team. You get your Dragon Grass, you get your Fire Ghost, you get Poison Dark, you got Rock Electric, and you got Steel Ice.
Okay.
And Psychic.
Psychic Electric?
Psychic Electric. So you're doubling up on the Electric, but still, that's a very solid team.
If you were going to double up on any type, Electric is one of the ones that, sure, you should not feel bad about that at all.
Not one bit. So I'm going to need to make some eggs of these guys.
I'd actually be down for using a lot of these as well. I'd use a Golem, and I would use that Marowak. I mean, maybe I'll make an Alolan form team as well.
We'll just both run through the Alolas and get our opinions of it.
Should we wait for Ryan?
I don't know.
That doesn't sound like too much fun to me.
Really?
No? Okay.
He's kind of just playing through with the Alolan forms.
Baller, yeah.
Are
man.
There 18 total?
No. We have some crossover.
We'd have to have the same team. I mean, we would have some differences if one of you guys wanted to use Ninetales and Dugtrio.
I mean, I'd be okay with passing on like Muk and using a Persian or Raticate instead. But you know, I mean,
go for it.
Anyway. We don't have to get into that discussion right now.
No, and anything else? I need to make some eggs.
Anything else on Sun and Moon that you guys want to talk about before we move on here?
No, I'm good.
Cool.
It's good stuff.
It's a pretty good game. It's not bad. You guys have been playing Pokemon Go, right?
That I have.
Indubitably.
Mm-hmm.
Have we talked about all of the updates that they've done? I think we talked about the daily bonuses.
Two big things have happened probably since we last talked about it, which was the whole...
the starters.
Gen 1 starters are now readily available for a little while.
I got enough to evolve my Bulbasaur and my Squirtle.
Nice.
And I found a Charmeleon.
Oh, very good.
So I'm good on those.
Yeah, I got a couple of Charmanders, I got a Venusaur, another Bulbasaur, and I think a couple of Squirtles, which is nice.
I got enough Bulbasaurs to take Bulbasaur all the way up to Venusaur, which I had one that I'd been working on. We walked like 83 kilometers together. and then they announced this fucking thing. We're like, hey, they're going to be everywhere now. I was like, fucking great. So
during that event, I only saw one Bulbasaur. during weird. That whole event. Squirtles everywhere. Don't know why.
I saw a lot more Bulbasaurs, and actually, like, I think it was 2 days after I took my Onion Breath Bulbasaur up to Venusaur, I found a wild Venusaur. It's like, God fucking damn it, guys. Son of a bitch.
It's poor timing.
Yeah. But I saw a decent number of Squirtles. I only caught 3, maybe 4 Charmanders, enough to, you know, have 3 in my bank there so I can have that living dex. But it's going to take a while to actually take up one of them to a Charizard. Right now I'm working on Squirtle, my Skull Basher, but I haven't I could take him up to War Turtle, but I haven't yet, just on the off chance I found a better one. But I don't know. I don't fight gyms. I don't know why I wait.
I'm not bothering with CP. I'm just trying to fill my decks, which is weird. I feel like we're doing the opposite of what we play in the actual game. You're actually trying to get quality Pokemon. But then I'm trying to build the decks.
But then I don't do anything with it. I got this really real top shelf Gyarados that I keep maxed out every time I level up. Like, I'm fucking battle with it or anything. But I got a Dragonite at CP is almost 2800, and every time I level up, I'm like, okay, gonna use a few more Dratini candy and all my Stardust and level this thing up a little bit more. I don't do anything. It's just vanity at this point.
Oh my god.
You guys don't do the battles much?
No.
I actually battle a lot. I think it's kind of fun. Good way to burn through inventory as well. Jeez, you're gonna use those revives.
Well, I
just throw them away.
Me too.
Just throw them away.
I hang on to a few super hyper and now a few max potions and a couple revives just in case I like see a gem that I may want to jump into for a little while. Mm-hmm. But like everything else, every time it just gives me regular potions, like, get this fucking garbage out of here. What do I need this for? Mm-hmm.
So the incubators are nonsense. Mm. Dear God, I got like 10 of those.
Yeah, they did it, I guess, because they were also doing the whole baby form thing.
Which, are those still around?
Yes.
Okay, because I still have all of them in the incubator.
I don't think you're getting any more incubator, because they're giving you like one incubator a day.
Yeah, you got one a day for the check.
I got like 3 a day.
Oh, wow.
I'm not even joking. One day I got like a few of them. I'm like, this is nonsense. Stop beating me in the head.
Yeah, so I've got 6 in incubators at the moment.
Nice.
Because I also had a bunch of 10Ks, so I'm trying to cook down a bunch of 10Ks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, that'll be nice. Hope some good stuff comes out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I got a Cleffa out of one of the eggs, which was nice because I don't have a Clefairy or a Clefable, so I'll be able to take that thing up and fill out a few more pages. Mm-hmm. And I got a Togepi out of one as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, I really want a Togepi. As it is, I mean, it's one of my favorites.
It's well documented that
I like it. It is great.
So I did an evolution party today at work. Because nice. I was awfully bored. I had to use 2 lucky eggs because I used one and stirred, like, evolved my dudes, and I got a bunch of customers, and then it expired. I was like, what the fuck?
Didn't they know? Like, didn't they know you were playing Pokemon Go?
I'm in the middle of something very important here, guys. But I wrote down in detail.
Did you not, like, have anyone who could take over for you?
I feel like I should have had a sign out, evolving Pokemon, come back in 15. Like, right. I feel like I should have done that.
Like, just, like, have a timer out there, like, this much longer in my lucky egg. And everyone will know.
Like, oh, okay, back, don't mess with him.
back when we were both working at the airport, actually, someone who used to be on a podcast here with us.
Mm-hmm.
You going to bed?
Bye.
Gross.
That's staying in, by the way. I'm not editing that out.
Jealous.
It's proof. You guys keep calling
me gay.
I'm
very jealous that you get to kiss John. I'm very jealous you get to kiss John.
Party of one.
We got a loner.
It's not my fault if we gotta die alone. Maybe it is, but I don't know.
So, being a co-worker of ours, who also used to be on this very podcast, Carlos, we would play Contra 4 at work constantly. And that's just all we did at fucking work for like 6 months straight to just play Contra 4. And whenever a customer would come in, we had the game down to a science where we would trade off who had to talk to the customer, and we'd just like cover, and like, and then for like 15 minutes or however long it took to get the fucking customer out of there, the other person would just like stand next to the person who was not playing and shoot all the enemies that were incoming. So you need someone like that for your Pokemon Go evolution party.
That's absolutely, like, nonsense.
I gotta talk to this person, level up my Pokemon.
So here's what I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was at level 20. I had 18,343 experience.
Mm-hmm.
I needed 50,000 to level up.
Very good.
At the end of this, I had 42,763 of level 21. So I gained 74,000 experience doing this.
Very nice.
I caught 1 Eevee. I used 2 Pokestops because now, since there's a Sprint location in my store, all Sprint locations became Pokestops.
Oh, nice.
So I have one literally right outside my store and one in my store. So I hit 2 Pokestops while I'm in the middle of work. It's
very
fantastic.
Cool.
This is what I evolved. 1 Bulbasaur, 1 Squirtle, 4 Caterpies, 9 Weedles, 24 Pidgeys, 1 Rattata, 1 Spearow, 1 Krabby, 1 Execute, 1 Cubone, 1 Goldeen, 4 Eevees,
nice.
3
nice.
Zubat, 1 Oddish, 2 Paris, 2 Venonat, 1 Meowth, 2 Poliwag, and 3 Drowsy.
Very cool.
That was
a lot of evolutions.
Nonsense. It took me forever.
And did you got a couple new Pokedex entries out of that?
I got a few out of that one. Nice. Oh, I'm missing Ekans. I also evolved Ekans. I did not have him on this list. That's weird. So I got Arbok was new.
I don't believe
you did it. Arbok was new. Kingler was new. Exeggutor was new. Sea King was new. Gloom, I had caught one before. Persian was new. And Poliwhirl was new.
Cool.
What'd you get out of the Eevees?
I got 3 Jolteons and Vaporeon. I didn't bother doing the naming thing. I was like, whatever I get is what I get. Who cares?
I think they got rid of the naming thing, didn't they?
It might be gone. I haven't been able to find any confirmation. I haven't looked in a little while either. But
I tried to do it a little while ago and it didn't work.
I ran into a situation where I tried to do it a couple of times and it didn't work. And then I tried to do it a third time, but I named it. And then I finished my play session before evolving it, so I closed out the game. And then when I booted it up later on, I evolved the Eevee and it worked. So it might have been a thing where I had to reset, or it might just been dumb luck that I named it the thing.
Yeah, it's true. You got a 1 in 3 chance.
Yeah. Until they finish up as Gen 2.
It's a fantastic little thing. I don't know why they would do that.
Well, so I'm hoping that when they do Espeon and Umbreon, there is a way that you can guarantee you get one or the other. Maybe day and night will matter when you're evolving it.
That would make sense.
Because it'd be so obnoxious. If I have to catch all these Eevees over again and be like, okay, now I got to take my 1 in 5 chance of getting an Umbreon. And like, oh, great, another fucking Flareon. Awesome. But
Ryan knows how that is. That's all about those
Flareons. What a waste of time.
But
you stuck with it like a champ.
Well, I mean, because we're talking about our run through where I was stuck with the 3
right.
Flareons. I mean, that was not great, but I still had 3 other things that were pretty awesome. I mean, I had an Umbreon, I remember. Leafeon, and I want to say
Umbreon's so good.
I had the Sylveon. I took it right away.
Maybe Glaceon? I'm not sure. Maybe not. I don't remember, but yeah, I played with others.
Steel Eevee.
And I still got so one Flareon.
A Steel Eevee and a Bug Eevee. That's all I want.
A Bug Eevee was so good.
I'm on.
Yeah, it's like fighting.
Fighting would be great. At this point, like, how can they not just make an Eevee for every type? Like, why? What is the point of?
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, yeah, I'm still playing Pokemon Go every day, almost every day. I don't really play when I don't go to work, which is a bummer because I hardly ever get, like, those 7-day streak bonuses.
Well, they got exactly what they wanted out of me by doing that whole thing because that meant that I was checking in at least once a day every single day.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So I was steadily and regularly playing the game, which is precisely what you want with a mobile game like that.
Mm-hmm. So, Wes, you're up to level 21.
21.
Ryan, what level are you at?
I don't know.
82.
22, 23, something like that. Okay. Not very high.
I'm catching him!
I'm a level 26, like a big loser.
Yeah, you are a big loser. Good luck yourself. 23. I recently turned 23.
It takes 200...
You look good for your age.
It has 200,000 experience. It requires 200,000 experience to get from level 26 to 27.
Yeah, it's like it increases exponentially. Yeah.
It's crazy.
My coworker is at 26 as well. He showed me that today.
Yeah.
And he showed me how much Stardust he has, which is over 500,000.
He's got to use that. I don't get anything for keeping it.
I have 86,000.
Whenever I get to about 40,000, I'm like, right, who else can I power up? How much candy do I have for this?
That's the thing. I was saving my candy for an evolution party.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So that's what I did.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I'll like look at, okay, how many Staryu candies do I have? All right, Starmie, you're getting a boost. Because why not? So, but yeah, I'm still playing every day when I go to, like, walk into work and get... like 3 or 4 kilometers for my eggs per day, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, it's again, that this was the appropriate way to play this game, to play it as a slow burn, because I feel like all the people who were just going nuts about it at the beginning have kind of dropped off, which is what happens when you binge early. Mm-hmm.
True.
But yeah, anything else about Pokemon Go before we move on here to one more topic?
Nah, I'm good.
Okay. So I got one more thing to talk about before we close it out here, and that is I started up a run-through like a crazy person of White 2.
Oh my god.
Because I recently did, like, over the summer, I did a run through of Black 2.
Played White 2. I never played the 2s.
Of Black version 1, like your Black version, I did a run through with an all dark team I talked about on a previous show. But yeah, I had only played the Gen 5 sequel once. I'd never done multiple run throughs of this game, so it feels like a brand new game. And, you know, it's still using the sprite art style, which I really love. Not that there's anything wrong with the current visual style. It's just like a nice step back to the more 2D visuals. But right now, I got 4 Pokemon I'm running with, and I'm not trying to use anyone new. I'm just going with like all the ones that that are really fun that I like. I got a Leavanny, which is really fun. Buggrass type that I really like. Ampharos, of course, mm-hmm. who is a fucking boss. And Umbreon.
Always great to have that.
I picked the water mm-hmm. starter, Dewott, or Oshawott was his first form. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. But like, you hardly ever think about it, but like the beginning of this game, you can get some really top shelf stuff just from the beginning. And oh, first of all, before I even get to that, you know how I was always raving about the thing in Oris where you can like go route by route and it shows you how many things you've caught on that route and how many you still might have to go. And like it'll tell you've caught everything on this route now. If I can have that in this one.
Oh, really?
Once again, another really awesome thing from Gen 5. Yeah. So it'll tell you like, hey, Route 19, you've now seen everything on that route. And it's, you know, once you catch everything on that route, it'll give you a different stamp, which is really awesome. So you know, like, hey, I don't have to roll around in the grass here anymore. I've seen everything that I'm going to see. Just in the first couple of routes in this game, you can get a Mareep, like I mentioned earlier, a Swaddle, who turns out to be a really great bug grass type. You can get Riolu.
Nice. That's
you good. Can get Elekid. You can get Growlithe. You can get Magnemite. And then once you get into Castellia City, you can just catch wild Eevees.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty sweet.
You have so many options, especially among the fire and electric types. You have so many options of all this different stuff you can run through the game with. But yeah, I mean, I have 5 badges, but I don't think it's quite as well-paced as the first versions of White 1 and Black 1, because, I mean, I'm through maybe a third of the cities in the game, and I have over half the badges, so they introduced some new gyms. I don't think all of the gyms are back in, but I think it does take it doesn't take the same approach as the first one, where it just has you loop around the map entirely. There's some new cities within that loop, and I think that at the very least, this will kind of open it up to some more hefty post game stuff, because I really like the post game of Gen 5, and I think that this is going to have even more of it, because there's going to be like 5 or 6 towns that you could just visit after you get through the Elite Four and the Champ.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's kind of, well, since we're talking about the 5th gen, I remember the first time I played, because like when I was playing Pokemon, like I really liked the first like 3 generations of the game. Mm-hmm. I stopped playing the game entirely, and I actually really got back into the game with the 6th gen. I was like, oh man, this is a fun RPG. I really like this. And then I went back and played 4th and 5th gens.
We Nuzlocked them.
Yeah, yeah. So 5th gen, my first time playing through was with one of either Black or White 2.
Oh, yeah.
And I talked about how convoluted I thought it was and how ridiculous it seemed and how there was just like so much going on and so little was explained. How you get that, what is it, Verizion or one of the early, like you get legendaries like pretty much fucking immediately in the game. And I was like, what is going on with all of this?
I haven't encountered any.
Yeah, there's no one like where you just basically walk right it. I think you might be approaching it right now, in fact.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, yeah. If you keep going, yeah, it's this little water path. I think you're going to get up to a little area and you're going to see this Verizion hopping around. I mean, again, if I'm remembering this correctly. But yeah, like, and then I went back and, of course, and I played the original Black and White, and it's so much more streamlined.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, they basically made a big, big loop. There's no getting lost in it. There's no figure eight maneuver you got to do, like, with the 3rd gen. And, I mean, it's pretty cool.
Which is, I think, like, to the point in the series is probably the most refined that it has gotten. Like, in Gen 7, in Sun and Moon, they took a totally different approach, which I really appreciate. Mm-hmm. But, like, instead of going from town to town, it's more about going to these islands and exploring these islands. I mean, how many towns are actually in Gen 7? Like, there might be one on every island. Maybe, I think, like, the second or third island might have two.
That's not really a fair comparison. I think this game is Gen 7 is structured way differently.
Right. Yeah,
it's not intended to be like that.
Yeah, which I really appreciate that it's not just about... Like, it becomes more about exploring these routes
and getting really... The 6th Gen does that. You're right, though. The 6th Gen is like that a lot, where it's sort of... You go from individual towns that make sense, and that's your story.
Yeah. Which I think is how a lot of the game has been up to that point, where... There are more examples of routes being totally inconsequential than there are examples of routes being really integral to giving you this sort of sense of narrative progression. Like, most of the time, the routes are just this connective tissue to your major beats in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Gen 7, it's totally different because it's less... I guess like the word I'm looking for is fragmented, maybe, where you don't feel like there's any wasted space. Like everything that you're doing seems like it matters and is engaging.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, also that you said how many gyms are you in now?
5.
And what's your average level?
30.
Yeah, that's saying something. Think of how long this game is going to be.
Right.
You're going to be hitting the Elite Four with a team that's probably around 50.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't remember, there's so much that happens. There is, I think, by the final run through, your average team is going to be like, by the time you're like, you've actually done with everything, because they tack on all this extra stuff post-game, you're going to be like level 70, 80. You kind of have to be around there in order to get to the final challenges.
You know the mic is picking up that clicking, right?
Yeah, I know, but there's a reasoning for it. Ryan, have you heard of this Pokemon Prism?
Pokemon Prism? I don't think so.
It's another... It's another fan made.
It was another fan game.
It was hacked. It's a hacked version of Pokemon, I think Sapphire.
Oh, cool.
So they hacked that, changed it. You start with freaking Lavatar, for crying out loud. But it got.
Why?
I don't know.
If you really want to die against fighting types?
I don't know why. But it's a very different game. There's like over 15 gyms in the thing. There's not much I know about this game, but it looks really interesting. And what happened was, it was in development, and then, like, the day before they were going to release it, Pokemon shut them down with a cease and desist, you know, like Nintendo did. Because, you know, that's what
they
do.
Nice house you had. It'd be a shame if someone set this on fire.
as is within their legal right to do.
As is in their legal right to do. And then it was taken by pirates and released on the internet anyways.
Wow.
So people are still getting around and
Somali
playing this
pirates?
Game.
You
you
will notice, though, that every time that there is a fan game, they get far enough into development where they're actually releasing a finished product before Nintendo's like, whoa, 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 slow your roll. Nintendo could swoop in when they start and say, no, you can't do that. They let them finish their product because, you know what? Once it's on the internet, it ain't going anywhere. It's Nintendo saying, like, we can't sanction this, but you can finish it, and it can be out there. But if anyone asks, it can't be out there.
And I think it promotes the product, ultimately.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's Pokemon the same way that a lot of video games come out now with, like... Because if you play PC games, Steam has the Steam Workshop. And a lot of people make games intentionally with the idea that fans are going to mod it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and all that does is mean that they're clocking more hours playing their fucking game. Good for you. Like, that's a good thing. So, I don't know why... They would really, and maybe that's why you're saying that they wait till
they've
got something that's going to be officially released. Because think of how many people played Uranium and were like, oh man, these Pokemon games are actually fun. Maybe I'll go pick up the new one.
Well, see, I think there's a tough balancing act you have to pull off there. Because I do think if the market starts to get flooded with Pokemon ripoffs and fan games, then you do eventually hurt the integrity, maybe the overall sales of your product. If it's just like, hey, why would I pay for these games if I could just play all these free
fans? But, like, I mean, do you think that the... Who is it that makes the Final Fantasy series? Is it Square Enix? Do you think they give a shit about the RPG Maker? Like, a game called RPG Maker where you get to build your own RPGs. Like...
No, but if it were called... If it were a fan-made thing called Final Fantasy Maker where you could mod versions
people call
of Final Fantasy...
People make games in it and make them Final Fantasy games using the actual stuff from the game. So it's just like...
The difference is that just there was a time where Square Enix didn't really know how to make games anymore. So they needed someone else
have
to do it.
Have you seen an RPG Maker lately, Ryan?
Yeah. No, I haven't.
But I don't know. I mean, it's definitely a more convoluted situation to just cut and dry, like, no, you should not be doing this. I mean, if I were to give someone advice, it was like, hey, I want to make my own Pokemon game. It's like, well, no, go ahead and make your own game. Say that it's heavily inspired by Pokemon. Why would you call it
Pokemon? That was a Zelda card game that you invented, Common John.
And I got that cease and desist letter quite quickly, actually. But it was supposed to be a card-based RPG. It was going to be real great. But the point is that when you have a property, and clearly things like Prism and Uranium did not hurt the sales of Pokemon Sun and Moon. Sun and Moon did well. I think Pokemon Go did a lot more there than Uranium, because what Pokemon Go does is it pulled in all the casuals. Like, hey, look, this is something that actually might be interesting. What you don't want to do is you don't want to lose the hardcore base. And that's where the balancing act comes in, because you can lose some of your hardcore base by saying, like, hey, I can just play these fan ones and not pay for them. Or you can lose some of your hardcore base by saying, hey, they keep shutting down these fan projects. Why would I support them anymore?
Yeah.
So you gotta find the right way to do the wrong thing.
I see. Yeah, and for me personally, I like playing the randomizers. There's actually an application that you can get that uses the ROMs themselves and builds new ones. Like you said, you start with Larvitar in this one.
Yeah.
Like there's one where you can create settings in it, and it will start. It randomizes virtually everything. You can change the types of Pokemon. You can have the type of the Pokemon you get be random, meaning you still get a Bulbasaur, but maybe your Bulbasaur instead of being poison grass is now going to be fire flying.
That's funny.
Like, okay, that's weird. But like, you can
does
also
it change
have
like
it
the color palette too?
No, I don't think so.
That would be cool.
But yeah, like what it'll also do is say, I want to randomize 3 starters for myself. And it'll be the same presentation where it's like Mudkip and Treecko and whatever the other one is, right?
Chikorita,
thank you. And
Torchic. You always confuse those two.
Yeah.
They sound similar, I guess. But like it'll only be 3 evolution, two evolutions on a Pokemon, so 3 stage ones. So you might get a Porygon,
Magby,
and yeah, a Poliwag. And those are your 3 options to start the game with. And it's like, oh,
who would you choose out of those 3, John?
Poliwag. Nah, Magby.
Magby sounds like
Magby. Yeah, Magby's the one.
You do need that item to take it up to its final form.
Oh, and you can also just give it whatever hell items you want. So okay, it could go into the game with whatever. Like you could give it one of the 2 items that Porygon needs to up to evolve. Like the upgrade, I think it is, the dubious disc. Is that right? Something like that?
Yeah.
So you can give it
shit. Sounds like the douchiest disc. Yeah. That was another thing about this Prism did that I just remembered. You can customize your starter.
Yeah?
Yeah, I watched a video really briefly on it, and the guy essentially picked the Lance palette and changed the color palette and adjusted how I want, and his sprite moving around was differently and everything, so you can customize the way your character looks.
That's pretty cool.
Which was pretty cool.
With clothes?
Completely.
With clothes and stuff?
You get to choose what sprites from the game you can use. So he chose the champion, Lance,
as his sprite,
but he looked a little different and he changed the color palette. Not completely, he just gave it the overall palette, because it still was the old Sapphire, so it was just everything had one color.
Right.
So Bulbasaur was green. I mean, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So it did the same thing? I believe so, because it was Sapphire. Sapphire had different colors at that point.
Different colors of what? I stopped listening.
I don't care, whatever. Okay. Let's move on.
Okay, I think that's actually going to bring the show to a close. We are going to do...
Oh, can I talk about one thing real quick?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, my God.
I just want to bring up that starting today at noon, in fact, today, Awesome Games Done Quickly started. There's an Awesome Games Done Quickly and a Summer Games Done Quickly, and it's just really fun, and it's for charity, and it's people, they just have this giant schedule of games. It goes on for a week. So even if you're posting this in the next couple days, there's going to be 5 more days of it.
So hopefully there will still be 4 more days of it, because I'm going to try to post this half quickly. We're still going to play Who's That Pokemon. I'm going to post that as a separate show, because that always requires more editing.
True.
Because you guys can't keep your filthy mouths shut.
So they do all kinds of games. It's a whole schedule stuff. But this is tangentially Pokemon related, because I know that there is at least going to be a run through of Emerald.
Oh, nice.
Which should be really fun to watch. Even if it's just sort of... I don't know. They get a little tricky, because oftentimes it's just them button mashing to just get through dialogue boxes, which isn't the most fun. But I watched probably 6 hours of it today just while doing stuff around my place. And the games they played were fucking amazing. It was so fun to watch.
What was your favorite one?
Maybe Ape Escape. actually. Ape Escape 2, the very first one that they did, because it was the least broken, glitchy one. It was sort of like, look at all these neat little ways I can manipulate stuff, not look at me like skipping a third of the game by tricking this game into letting me go through a wall here.
Mm. I mean, some of those kind of things are pretty cool. I was watching the Ocarina of Time one earlier, and it was interesting how
all of the fucking backwards moving and sidestepping.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. It looks really cool what they're doing there. Like, they're running through the fire temple, and you know that one room, the fire's coming up, and you have to go through certain paths because the fire will pop up?
Yeah.
He kind of glitched it with the boulder so it can go through it. Like, that was weird. And then in this other part, after he gets the Megaton Hammer, you drop down to that one room. I forget what's down there, but he did it in a way that he glitched it, so he just fell right into the boss room.
Oh, nice.
So it was really cool. He skipped, like, the second half of the dungeon. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Hmm. But those kind of glitches are really neat in those giant games, because if it was doing it glitchless, that would take hours still.
Yeah.
I mean, it would take far too long to be entertaining.
I think his runtime on it was, like, less than 2 hours, right?
Something
like
that.
It was, like, an hour 50 minutes.
It's crazy. Playing through Ocarina in an hour 50?
Yeah. Oh, but and the other ones, I mean, the Borderlands two-player run-through was fucking cool, too.
They learned another one of those?
A lot of neat tricks.
Did they do all the glitches and everything?
Yeah, a lot of gun stacking. Like, doing that glitch where you pick up and drop the same gun over and over again, and it builds up your speed.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the guy was just, like, flying through the level. I think he said at one point it was going faster than the fastest, twice as fast as the fastest vehicle, with the only mod in the game, I think, that increases the speed of the vehicle. So it was just so ridiculous.
Yeah, that the Borderlands 2 multiplayer speedrun is probably one of my favorite speedruns.
That
period.
Was it is glitchy just as hell.
Really, really cool how they're doing it.
Yeah, like how they basically have converted sniper rifles into shotguns, and they don't use ammo, and they don't need to reload.
Nope. it's just a shotgun that you don't need to reload and does ridiculous damage. It just pop, 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 pop. It's stupid.
Oh, and how much they hate Claptrap.
Oh,
because if you play through the game a lot, you really learn to just fucking despise him.
Oh,
and they said
the worst.
They even bring it up how often, like, because there a lot of it is still dialogue driven. They're not mashing the A button through it, but it's still a lot of key moments where the game has mile markers delivered by characters with dialogue.
Mm.
And they said that the hardest thing to interrupt is Claptrap dialogue, where they made it so it takes priority over just about everything. Like, it was really, really funny. And again, they busted through that whole game in like an hour and a half. I was like, fuck you guys.
Oh, such a good game.
Yeah, so they
so
did
good.
That.
Did they do the big glitch at the end where they...
the gun thing?
I forget what it was.
They actually crashed the computer.
They, like, glitch into, like, infinite space. Like, it was really weird what they did.
Yeah.
They did that last year. They showed that. It was really cool.
Yeah, where, like, you can see the guy, you just get shot into space, basically.
Basically, yeah.
And they did one where they were just dropping guns over and over again to crash the game, and, like, they were expecting it to take about 30 seconds, but apparently the machine that they gave them was just a really top-shelf PC,
mm-hmm.
and they actually took, like, a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes for them to just continually drop items to slow the game down to the point where it would crash.
Oh, my God.
So that was really funny. They did a four players versus each other to beat the first Mega Man. That was really cool to watch. Shovel Knight just happened.
That one was
this is all
good.
First. And by the way, they what they do is they release it all unedited, mm-hmm. so you can get the entire hour long blocks on YouTube. So I know I got into a summer games 6 months ago when that was they've been doing this for years now, but that was the first one I ever really paid.
I'm definitely gonna go back and rewatch that Borderlands one because I missed it this year, so I want to see it again.
Yeah, it was a Mechromancer so and a Commando.
Yeah, they need those because the Commando does the speed glitch and the Mechromancer does a glitch through an important wall.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the reasons why you needed her.
Yeah, I don't know. Just watching them navigate the game so deftly is
so good. They get into town, they all break off and they do their own little errands. It's fantastic. Oh, it's so good.
Okay, well, I'm done talking. And the big thing is that, they're going to be doing Pokemon run-throughs, so probably worth checking out. It's going to be cool.
Cool. All right, so that's going to bring this show to a close, but it should just be in a couple more days before we post Who's That Pokemon, which we're going to record right now.